B-Pod Studios.
Tutcher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It is Tutcher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Got Joe Murray here in studio this morning, and I'm glad because there was a story that caught my eye this weekend. And sometimes, listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know the mystical ways of the sports better. That is why we have the Bankroll Boys on once a week to explain the unexplainable and unlock the secrets and the code to what they know. And in this case, I don't know if there's an explanation, but I'm glad you're here. So according to Odds Checker, now is Odds Checker, first of all, Joe, before we get into the story, is that a reputable sports book?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, anyone who will take my money, I'll you know what I mean?
In other words, he doesn't know. He's bet with them before. Is that about right?
Maybe Lifshitz has.
So. Okay. All right. So according to Odds Checker, there right now are more bets heading for MVP of the NFL on Josh Allen than any other player. Allen has received 23% of the total bets for MVP at this point. Yes, Josh Allen!
The Bills make me wanna
23% of the total 2020 MVP to this point. The next closest that they've had. Now, these are not the odds. This is just who's received the most bets. You've got Josh Allen, and then you've got Kyler Murray, the next closest. He's got 30-1 odds.
I understand that. I understand Kyler Murray now that he has Hopkins. He's got a great wide receiver. And
you got 14% of the bets with him. And then you got Patrick Mahomes, who's got 13% of the total bets. Now, right now, Josh Allen has 50-1 odds. Once again, this is not who has the best odds. It's who more the most money is going towards because either people see value or one way or the other. But Josh effing Allen, of all the players to put that money on, Joe Murray, explain the unexplainable.
Well, here it is. The Buffalo Bills are huge favorites this year to possibly dethrone the Patriots from the AFC East and make a run. They had a great draft. The Stephon Diggs signing should help them big time. Good running game as well. I agree with John. I agree with you, man. I still think the Buffalo.
You still need it. Stephon Diggs can't throw it and catch it. He has to have someone qualified to throw him
totally
the football for him to be effective. Yep. And we all know how great, you know, he always takes not getting the ball lying down. He always never complains about that at all.
So there's a pattern when it comes to betting or just football in general. Last year, the two like dandies going into the season were the Chicago Bears, Mitch Trubisky, and his MVP odds were one of the most bet odds last year.
I was just about to mention that. And what did they end up doing? Didn't they end up giving them money back?
And then the Cleveland Browns were the other. And Baker Mayfield was in that same category, which are fine bets. But 50-1 odds, those are great odds. Again, when I put my money, I'd either put my money on Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson is probably a guy I'd take a look at. And I don't know, I'd have to think about another one. Kyler Murray is definitely, if they can win 8-9 games this year, that's an improvement. Also, just weird on Kyler Murray. Pretty good decision on playing football instead of baseball, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, okay, real quick. Okay, this is something that drives me crazy with these, people like, professional bettors and people who do this, is a lot of times I was like, those are great odds. And is it ever good odds if you know it's impossible?
It's not impossible.
For something to happen?
Oh, it's absolutely
to me,
not
it just
impossible.
It sounds like a waste of, you're throwing away money. It's all great odds.
I mean, 50-1 odds, dude, $25 can still net you a couple thousand bucks. You know what I mean? Like, you do that. Like, that's what people do, Rich. They put a bunch of money on a bunch of guys, and if one of them hit, you win your bet. Like,
okay,
you make
your best case of that happening, where there was, a ridiculous thing that you're like, I'll put a couple bucks on that. Give me your best case of that happening.
I mean, Toronto Raptors winning the championship last year. I think that was one that came out really well. MVP odds, that's probably different, right? Lamar Jackson, we had them. We selected him last year. We had that, and there were great odds. He wasn't,
but the Raptors winning the championship, I mean, what were the odds when you bet on that?
Well, Golden State was still the golden goose. You know what I mean? Like, LeBron and the late, like, there were other teams that were good. The odds, I think they were plus 700. They were the fourth best odds going into the playoffs.
Okay. I mean, that's not Josh Allen winning MVP. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, at least there's some logic there. You could go, okay.
Yeah.
And you said going to the playoffs, yeah. Not even the beginning of the season.
Toronto
the
had
time,
some talent at that
well,
point.
Well, they did, but into the season, though, the Celtics were still better, had better odds than,
but again,
than Toronto.
Talent. You saw it. You saw more than one player on the team.
You for an example.
Talent.
I gave you one.
And you're failing miserably.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing close to this.
Yeah, because if you said the beginning of the season, I would go, all right. But you said the beginning of the playoffs because the big question mark was how Kawhi Leonard was going to be. By the time the playoffs started, you knew that it was a bad man.
Yeah, he was so, pretty good by then.
It took a game 7 shot against Philadelphia to win. But whatever, it doesn't matter. Never mind. Losing this argument here. I can't do it.
No, honestly, like when everyone says, oh, those are great odds, I'll put money on. It's like, no, that's a waste of money. Like, if you know someone's going to lose, it's that bad. Like, to me, okay, put it this way. Do you think that from these long shot bets that you've made, have you lost more or made more?
Oh, absolutely lost. There's no doubt. But I will tell you this. Like,
adds up, man.
But I will say this. Like,
$25 on crap here and $50 on
that
crap
adds up after
adds
a while,
up.
I would think. Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at it here. The last few NFL MVPs, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. Matt Ryan was probably interesting in 2016. You know, Adrian Peterson in 2012. How many running backs truly win the MVP? Besides that, though, it's been all court. Like Ladainian Tomlinson in 2006. Yeah, we're reaching
superstars.
Here.
Superstars. This is Josh Allen. Man.
All right. That was a reach. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you listed all of those names and then put Josh Allen right at the end
I'm
of
sorry.
It.
Sorry.
Which one of these things is not like the other?
I was definitely wrong.
These things never work out. Like, they never work out. And I hear all these guys like, yeah, that's great odds. Yeah. Like, they'll never win. Like, just calculate. I wish you could go back and, like, if you kept receipts, calculate all of those bets. Like, yeah, I'll put 25 on this. Yeah. Dude, I bet it's like
I do that in
five
the home run
figures.
Derby all the time. I'm like, yeah, this guy looks good. I don't even know his name.
At least the home run derby is like a smaller field. Like, Josh Allen isn't. I mean, are we out of our minds? Have we lost our minds? I mean, first of all, Josh Allen could arguably be the worst quarterback in the AFC East. We don't know what Stidham is.
So
we don't know.
How about this? He has never completed 60% of his passes. Not in high school, not in college, not as a pro. Not as a JV quarterback in high school has he completed 60% of his passes. You're betting on this guy to be the MVP.
All right, I'm putting it. I'm doing it.
Lamar Jackson won a Heisman Trophy at least
in college.
I'm doing
it right now. 50-1 odds. I'm putting $25 on it right now.
You might as well give it to me.
I mean, I know, but I'm trying here.
Somebody said Allen gets 20 passing TDs and 20 rushing TDs, and they go 11-5. That would do it. Not to win MVP. Listen, no. He could do that. But to win MVP, you're telling me that people are going to look at that and then look at what Patrick Mahomes is going to do this year and go, You know, Allen, he didn't have much to work with.
Can I give you one that it's not – you guys are going to laugh. The Leicester City 10,000-1 a couple of years ago, whatever. What was it, 100,000-1? Whatever. That was one that really hit. No one saw that one coming.
Fair enough.
But that was two watches. I understand that. So.
What is Leicester City? What is this?
It's years ago.
Premier League Soccer.
Yeah, they were like,
how am I supposed to know that guy's name? You just threw that
I
there.
Did.
Like,
I knew it.
Knowledge. Good old Lacis. Yeah, everyone loves that guy. I've got
Dan
who is this?
It's Leicester. Is it Leicester or Leicester?
Leicester City.
Hold on. Talk to Dan O'Brien.
It's a Leicester City.
Leicester City, yeah. Yes.
They're a team, Rich, not a person.
Exactly.
Like, you see, once again, I have no idea.
But yeah, you're proud of me, Dan. I knew that one.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Well,
but yeah, when it comes to the NFL or even NHL or whatever, no. But Lamar, I'll tell you, the easiest one, Lamar Jackson this year. The Ravens have the easiest schedule in football. Easiest schedule.
I think he's going to regress. I think that I'm telling you, I have a feeling people are going to figure him out. I just got a weird feeling. Now, you're right. The schedule is super easy. But I have a feeling that people are going to be able, they're going to figure him out. You're going to see that he is I think he had that one shining moment. And listen, he's so much fun to watch. And he's like he was a superstar in the making. But I don't know if you can play that kind of game and then people not get onto you after a while.
One more thing about Josh Allen. Take a look at his opponents. He plays the NFC West just like the Patriots do. Mm. They have a top five strength of schedule as far as difficulty is concerned.
So, Joe, go put your $50 on a guy that's not going to win. Just
no, how confident are you?
It's okay. Why not if 50? I put 100 and I win 50 G's, what are you going to
do? Go right ahead. You might as well burn it in front of me. Just light it up with a match. And you can say, here's my 25, Wallach. Good.
You know what? I can't.
Put it down. $25 on Josh Allen.
No, I like, looked at my wallet for a minute. Nope, not doing it.
All right.
Oh, we can make like a side bet for fun.
Sure. Why the hell not? All right. Well, we got Jeff Howe coming up, and he'll tell you whether you're an idiot or not for putting $25 on Josh Allen for MVP. He's got actually a really good article about what to look for when the camp starts up and some questions about this team, and we'll get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
An app.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. It is Tutcher and Rich. John Wallach, Joe Murray in studio as well, and as the sports world starts to approach hitting normal and getting back to business as usual, it looks like the facilities are starting to open back up, and NFL teams are starting to plan some of their camps, and Jeff Howe, who is working for The Athletic, he wrote a very good article regarding what to take a look for during these upcoming camps, what kind of storylines are out there? And before we get to all that, Jeff, Josh Allen right now, most money in the in Vegas is heading towards him for the NFL MVP. What say you?
50-1 odds, Jeff.
Book it, right?
Let's do it.
Start spending money now,
baby.
Arguably, is Josh Allen the worst quarterback in the division?
No, it's hard to say. I mean, he was a playoff quarterback last year, so
that was a playoff last year. I think you could. The defense had a little something to do with it, don't you think?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was second best defense in the NFL probably last year, and they're awesome, and they should be good again this year. Josh Allen's a lot of fun to watch. I mean, he does some wild things on the field. Not all of them are responsible, but they're all wild. And I think if he is able to play a little more consistently, he could be a really good quarterback for a while. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but when the Bills have the ball on offense, I love watching because you never know what that guy's going
to
do.
It's like saying Jameis Winston's a lot of fun to watch because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, it's chaos, but I mean, it's when you look at him and the amount of time that he's had under center, you know, is there still hope that he could eventually turn into something solid? Not even great, but solid as quarterback.
Yeah, I really do. I like his potential, and he's raw. I mean, you got to remember, he came from a fairly small school, I guess, on the Division I spectrum. I mean, it's not like Wyoming is playing SEC competition all the time. And, you know, so he's been a two-year starter, I think, at this point. So he's still extremely raw from that perspective. And just think of where, you know, Tom Brady was after 2 years of starting and what he turned into by year seven. So there's a lot of room for improvement, and I think there's enough there on the surface to think that he could be a solid quarterback for a long time.
All right, Jeff, so there's been some people who have spoken out. I think it might have been Rob Ninkovich and some other ex-players speculating that Jared Stidham may not be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. You wrote a little bit about that battle in your newest article for The Athletic. How do you think they're going to approach this? Obviously, Belichick's going to want to try to keep it competitive, but realistically, how do you think this is going to be ironed out?
Well, yeah, Belichick's going to make Stidham have to win the job. And I think the interesting thing, really, is going to be, how do they start this thing? You know, the first time that the media is allowed to watch practice, you know, whether it's miraculously in 2 weeks in, you know, mini camp or something like that, or more realistically, whenever training camp starts sometime down the line, are they going to allow Jarrett Stidham to be the day one starter in practice, or are they going to make it Brian Hoyer and force Stidham to sort of come from behind and win the job? Or are they going to add a little adversity to his plate just to see if he can come out and take the job from Brian Hoyer and, you know, see what happens after 2 weeks? If he's clearly the better quarterback of the two, you know, after, again, 2 weeks or something like that, then I think it's probably going to be his job to win, and there won't be any looking back. So that's the one thing. I mean, they like Stidham, and I keep going back to last summer, how impressive he was at training camp, which, you know, we were all saying in real time, this wasn't just, you know, this wasn't something that we just started throwing at the wall in March when Tom Brady left. I mean, this Jarrett Stidham showed some real potential last summer, but the only thing the Patriots have left to see, and this is something that they have privately admitted, they need to see him do it when the action is live. And that's not something you can replicate until they're given the chance. So once Jarrett Stidham is given the chance to win the job, can he do it? And then once he takes over on game days, you know, how's he going to look? And there's reasons to believe that Jarrett Stidham will be a solid functioning quarterback in his first year as a starter, but there's always that glimmer of doubt.
All right. Well, this kind of adds a little bit of more fuel on the fire of something that we thought was done and over with. But ESPN's Jeremy Fowler this weekend had a report that the Patriots did indeed talk to Cam Newton during his free agency, but nothing ended up materializing. There's also some speculation as to the reason they were so hesitant was because, you know, many people want to be able to look at him, you know, health-wise, being able to get their doctors to you know, examine him and figure out how healthy he is once this whole coronavirus situation is, you know, once they're able to. Do you believe, and obviously they wanted to take a huge pay cut too, according to reports, do you believe that he might be kind of sitting there in the back of their minds, and he's somebody that if Cam was willing to take that pay cut, that they might be willing to make this happen?
I'd be shocked. I mean, I've been told at least a couple times now that it wasn't going to happen. So it could something change when the whole thing settles down and they are able to give him a more thorough medical evaluation. Maybe. I mean, there's always, like,
did anyone tell you why it wasn't going to happen? I'm sorry. When they said it, Jeff, when it wasn't going to happen, did they tell you why it wasn't going to happen?
No, I was just given a flat no.
Okay.
So is he even the type of quarterback that fits this offense?
No, I think over the last, I mean, since the MVP year, which ended with that Super Bowl loss, I mean, he's been a lot more erratic. He's made more mistakes, and the injuries have piled up. So I don't think he is the type of quarterback who would fit this offense. I mean, his MVP year was awesome. He was an outstanding quarterback that year. I think the end of the Super Bowl was questionable, and since then, I don't think he's been all that impressive since 2016, basically. So I don't think he would be the type of fit that this offense needs. You know, get the ball, get it out in a hurry, and you need tremendous accuracy. I mean, you go from having the most accurate passer probably in NFL history in Tom Brady to a guy in Cam Newton who has questionable accuracy. I mean, that's a major, major adjustment that Josh McDaniels would have to make. And you know, that's another link that Jarrett Stidham really has, is his accuracy to all three levels of the field. I mean, that's something that I think they are really going to value, assuming Stidham wins the job. So I just think that it would be a strange fit. And again, I've been told a couple times it's a hard no. So, I always have to admit that there's something that I could be missing. But in this case, I would be shocked if it was Newton.
One other quick thing, getting back to Jarrett Stidham and the possibility of him starting. Do you think, and you've dealt with him enough and you know his personality, if they shine a spotlight on him day one and he has to stand up there at the podium day one and answer all these questions and keep answering all these questions, do you think mentally he's ready for that?
Yeah, and that's actually something that people around him have been telling me for over a year now at this point. He's a really mature kid. And, you know, one thing that it's a small thing, but it's a big thing in some people's minds. He's already married, and he's had, you know, he's gone through some adversity in his past. There's some unknown parts to his family story about just having to get through some things when he was a bit younger, I think as an early teenager. And the fact that he's married now, I mean, that settles his life down. That takes an element of chaos out where, you know, you get the spotlight all of a sudden, you know, are you out? What are you doing at night? That's not something that you have to worry about with Stidham. So he's got his life in order outside the facility, and he's going to be able to concentrate on, you know, how he can control everything inside the facility. So that makes handling that spotlight a whole lot easier.
Okay, Jeff, there was a report that came out this weekend. You've obviously covered the Crafts for the whole time you've been with the Patriots, and you might have an insight into how they'd be thinking on this, but a report came out that Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez want to buy the New York Mets, but obviously they don't have enough money, so they want to go halvesies, or I don't even know if it's halvesies, but apparently
sure that's they're calling it on the contract.
Dude,
halvesies.
I don't know. I just know that for some reason they are trying to get Robert Kraft to help them, whereas if Robert Kraft wanted the Mets, he could just buy the Mets. But what are the chances that a Robert Kraft would want to like buy another team outside of Boston, like the Mets, and on top of that they would do it with Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez?
Well, interestingly enough, I wrote a story about this maybe a year and a half ago. Kraft and A-Rod are actually friends, and this goes back a while, where Kraft helped A-Rod. Kraft was like a big reason why A-Rod was so forthcoming with, you know, admitting guilt with everything that he was kind of going through, what, 5-7 years ago, whenever that was. Kraft was, he said, he kind of took A-Rod to the side at a party, I think it was, and he said something like, you know, you have to stop burning bridges, you have to start building them. And that advice helped A-Rod kind of turn his life around when he was in a dark spiral, again, a number of years ago. And they've kind of maintained that friendship. So that wouldn't shock me if he got into business with A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez because of their history and their connection together. There's definitely something there. I have absolutely no idea if he's willing or interested in buying a baseball team or the Mets or anything like that, though.
I just wonder because, I mean, the Crafts obviously are very aware of their, they obviously like to keep up a good reputation. They're so, you know, they're very, as we've learned over the past like year or so, this is something that they take very seriously. They wanted to be, they don't want to have any more outside, I don't know, hits to their reputation or like that. Do you think that buying a team in New York, do you think their perception would be that the people of Boston would not look, they would not smile upon that?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a pretty fair point. You know what? I mean, it's probably a long shot. I have no idea. I mean, I didn't even see the report, so I haven't even had a chance to follow up or anything like that on it. I have no idea. I've never heard that Kraft is interested in buying another team or even going halfway into it with Alex Rodriguez.
Well, a lot of that comes from, you saw the, I think it was the Post, who was basically begging Robert Kraft to buy the Mets. And they wrote this article, this glowing thing about how he's like one of the best owners, please save us, you know, come in and buy the Mets. And now this Jennifer Lopez article came out.
Seems like, you know, an extra headache you really don't need.
And the best part of the article was like, A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez want to be hands-on when it comes to ownership with the team. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a great sign. I mean, listen, Michael Jordan couldn't run a basketball organization well. Derek Jeter couldn't run a baseball organization well. What makes you think that somebody like Jennifer Lopez, who's never played baseball, would be able to come in there and all of a sudden make this work? Who knows? Maybe magically they could. When I read that story, I'm like, why does Robert Kraft need you to buy this team? He could do it on his own if he wanted to, and just, it would just be an easy check to write if he had to do so.
Yeah, you're right. It'd be we would definitely need a reality show out of this whole thing too.
I don't know. I find Rodriguez to be boring, but I do know, however, that at one of the, I think it was like the Patriots Super Bowl party, the entertainment was Jennifer Lopez, I guess, and like she brought out Alex Rodriguez, and the people were like, "All right, dude, we hate Alex Rodriguez.
He's gone out of his way."
People
in
Boston aren't big
image.
Fans of Alex Rodriguez, yeah. Not big fans. All right, well, I appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for coming on with us, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, see you, man. All right, when we get back, obviously there's some very important matters we have to talk about. We'll do it right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher. Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it's not right, you know, so we wanted to come out here and let our voice be heard because we stand for the truth and we stand for justice. And we won't stop until we get justice. And that's really what this is about. And, you know, I just want to say to everyone who thinks this is something more than it is, it's not. You know, despite color or gender, the truth is the truth. Justice is justice, and justice hasn't been served. And people are pissed off about it. So we're here to keep, you know, George Floyd's name alive and keep it going and his legacy. Something has to change, and we're here trying to make a change.
Five of Sports Hub. This is Toucher and Rich, and that is the voice of Marcus Smart, who, if you are a Bostonian, you are proud of him this morning. And if you heard the first break of the show, I apologize. It was raw. But I don't really apologize. I was finding it hard to do a show once we cracked the mics this morning because I slept less than an hour last night. Most of the evening was sitting up with my wife watching our neighborhood destroyed right before our eyes. And it was one of those moments where, as I was saying this morning, just when you think you've hit rock bottom, this year just has a way of going, hey, look what we got waiting for you next. And this has been, the tensions have been growing for generations. And the last couple of years have just made it even worse. Racial tension all over the country, situation after situation, people of color, the system not standing up for them. Then you've got the pandemic, one that's killing African Americans disproportionately higher than others. And now you've got the unemployment numbers and families struggling from a crippled economy. You've got 100,000 deaths plus. And right when you think we're about as low as it could be, a match was lit and just blew it all up. And that was a video of a black man named George Floyd screaming for his life as a white police officer kneed on his neck for 9 minutes, ultimately killing him like an animal. And over the last several nights, we saw protests all over the country. Some peaceful and some were violent. And as I was mentioning earlier before, you know, every time I saw a peaceful one, you know, my heart was full. Every time I saw a violent one, there was part of me that went, I hate to say it, but I understand it. You know, when you've got year after year, people trying to do peaceful protests and those people being called sons of bitches by leaders and being shunned by major corporations and being blackballed after attempting to do so with dignity and do so peacefully, then there's part of me that understands it. But then you start asking the questions when you see that, and your heart breaks no matter what. You say, you know, what can I do? And as I was mentioning earlier, you know, the two things I thought, you know, vote. You need your vote more than ever right now. And the other thing is if our generations has screwed this up so bad, then maybe the next one will be able to clean up our mess. So I talked to my kids last night, and I showed them videos before they went to bed of what was going on in Boston. And as I was mentioning, Marcus Smart is my son Hank's favorite player. He loves Marcus Smart. And I showed him the video of Marcus Smart talking. And I'm like, that's what a man does. That's how you stand up. That's how you make your voice known. That's how you use your celebrity. I showed him Enes Kanter, and Enes Kanter was down there as well. I told him about Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown getting in a car, driving 15 hours to go to his hometown of Atlanta when he saw that all hell had broken loose there on Friday night. And I told him, look, Boston's different. Take a look. Other cities are in chaos right now, and this is different. We care for each other. You've got this amazing, peaceful protest. You've got these players that you love speaking right where my son plays baseball, right where my kids walk our dog and roller scooters. And it was a great image for them to see right before they fell asleep. And then everything changed. I walked out of their room, putting in bed around 8:45 last night. I walk out of their room and I look at my Twitter, and the first thing I see is that a report that bottles had been thrown at police officers at Downtown Crossing. So I turn on the TV, and within 5 minutes, the city was on fire. There were police cars on fire. There were white and black people looting, smashing all the businesses right on the block where I walk my kids every single day. Downtown was absolute chaos. And to the people who protested yesterday in front of the State House peacefully, I said it before, my heart is with you. I'm sorry that your voice has been constantly drowned out. I'm sorry that when you've attempted these peaceful protests, you've been mocked. You've been called un-American. You've had people in power call you horrible names. My heart and my vote is with you. Marcus Smart, you are my hero this morning. Enes Kanter, all of the people who are in a position of power who are able to stand up and say something, what you did yesterday was noble and necessary, and thank you. But right after after that was done, that's when we saw the worst of Boston. I thought we were better than that. I thought we were better than destroying our own homes. And I thought that we had finally done things right. And I just sat there until 2 a.m. when the live coverage finally stopped. And I just watched, and I was just overtaken with such sadness. And at times like this, I don't know what to say. And I'm seeing these businesses, and not all of them are big mega corporate businesses. There were mom and pop stores that were being, that already are going through massive economic loss because of the coronavirus, and now have to take another hit. I saw an owner of a cafe that was downtown saying they're going, what did I do to anybody? Crying on television last night. It's just a whole lot of bad. And sometimes I just don't know what to say other than I have hope. And I saw it after the marathon bombing. I saw after that horrible, horrible day, the best of Boston shone through. You saw people bonding together, people unifying, people doing the right thing instead of the most evil of things. And there's a whole lot of that there right now. And I hope that that's what we're about to see. We're about to see, after the worst of Boston, the best of Boston. Because God knows we need it. And we've never needed it more. But one person whose words stuck with me this weekend, I think somebody who just said it better than anyone else. It's amazing how in times like this, sometimes the leaders become cowards and the unexpected become leaders. And there is a guy that I've respected for a while now. I knew that he was not only very talented in music, but he was also an advocate, but not to the point where I'd ever heard him speak to this extent. While Atlanta was in flames, almost exactly the same way that Boston was last night, Killer Mike, he is a rapper. He is in the group Run the Jewels. He spoke yesterday. The mayor actually asked him to speak to Atlanta. And now that this city has gone through what it's gone through, these words ring even more true. And he can say it better than I could even possibly sit here and try to say it this morning. This is Killer Mike from Run the Jewels speaking about his town of Atlanta. But
I didn't want to come.
It could be just as true for this city right here.
I didn't want to come. And I don't want to be here. I'm the son of an Atlanta City police officer. My cousin is an Atlanta City police officer. And my other cousin, East Point police officer. And I got a lot of love and respect for police officers, down to the original 8 police officers in Atlanta that even after becoming police had to dress in a YMCA because white officers didn't want to get dressed. And here we are 80 years later. I watched a white officer assassinate a black man. And I know that tore your heart out. And I know it's crippling. And I have nothing positive to say in this moment, because I don't want to be here. But I'm responsible to be here, because it wasn't just Dr. King and people dressed nicely who marched and protested to progress this city and so many other cities. It was people like my grandmother, people like my aunts and uncles who were members of SCLC and NAACP. So I'm duty bound to be here to simply say that it is your duty not to burn your own house down for anger with an enemy. It is your duty to fortify your own house so that you may be a house of refuge in times of organization. And now is the time to plot, plan, strategize, organize, and mobilize. It is time to beat up prosecutors you don't like at the voting booth. It is time to hold mayoral offices accountable, chiefs and deputy chiefs. Atlanta is not perfect, but we're a lot better than we ever were, and we're a lot better than cities are. I'm mad as hell. I woke up wanting to see the world burn down yesterday because I'm tired of seeing black men die. He casually put his knee on a human being's neck for 9 minutes as he died like a zebra in the clutch of a lion's jaw. And we watch it like murder porn over and over again. So that's why children are burning to the ground. They don't know what else to do. And it is the responsibility of us to make this better right now. We don't want to see one officer charged. We want to see four officers prosecuted and sentenced. We don't want to see targets burning. We want to see the system that sets up for systemic racism burnt to the ground. And as I sit here in Georgia, home of Stevens, Georgia, former vice president of the Confederacy, white man said that law, fundamental law, stated that whites were naturally the superior race, and the Confederacy was built on a cornerstone. It's called a cornerstone speech. Look it up. The cornerstone speech that blacks would always be subordinate. That officer believed that speech because he killed that man like an animal. In this city, officers have done horrendous things and they have been prosecuted. This city's cut different. So after you burn down your own home, what do you have left but char and ash? CNN, Ted did a great thing. I love CNN, I love Cartoon Network, but I'd like to say to CNN right now, karma's a mother. Stop feeding fear and anger every day. Stop making people feel so fearful. Give them hope. I'm glad they only took down a sign and defaced a building and they're not killing human beings like that policeman did. I'm glad that they only destroyed some brick and mortar and they didn't rip a father from a son. They didn't rip a son from a mother like the policeman did. When a man yells for his mother in duress and pain and she's dead, he is essentially yelling, please, God, don't let it happen to me. And we watch that. So my question for us on the other side of this camera is, after it burns, will we be left with charred, or will we rise like a phoenix out of the ashes that Atlanta has always done? Will we use this as a moment to say that we will not do what other cities have done, and in fact, we will get better than we've been? So we have an opportunity now, because I'm mad. I don't have any good advice. But what I can tell you is that if you sit in your homes tonight, instead of burning your home to the ground, you will have time to properly plot, plan, strategize, and organize and mobilize in an effective way. And two of the most effective ways is first taking your butt to the computer and making sure you fill out your census so that people know who you are and where you are. The next thing is making sure you exercise your political bully power and going to local elections and beating up the politicians that you don't like. You got a prosecutor sent your partner to jail and you know it was bullshit. Put a new prosecutor in there. Now's your election to do it. You want a different senator that's more progressive, that pulls marijuana through? Now is the time to do that. But it is not time to burn down your own home. I love and I respect you. I hate I don't have more to say. I hate I can't fix it in a snap. I hate Atlanta's not perfect for as good as we are. But we have to be better than this moment. We have to be better than burning down our own homes. Because if we lose Atlanta, what else we got? We lose an ability to plot, to plan, to strategize, to organize, and to properly mobilize. I want you to go home. I want you to talk to 10 of your friends. I want you guys to come up with real solutions. I would like for the Atlanta City Police Department to bring back the community review board before an officer does some stupid We need to get ahead of it. We don't need an officer that makes a mistake once, twice, three times, and finally he kills a boy on national TV, and the next thing you know, the country is burning down. We don't need a dumbass president repeating what segregationists said. You start looting, we start shooting. But the problem is some officers black and some people going to shoot back. And that's not good for our community either. I love and respect you all. I hope that we find a way out of it because I don't have the answers, but I do know. We must plot, we must plan, we must strategize, organize, and mobilize. Thank you for allowing me some time to speak. I'd like to appreciate our chief for what she said on YouTube. I'd like to appreciate our mayor for talking to us like a black mama and telling us to take our ass at home. And I'd like to thank my friend for convincing me to come here. And I'll defer to Joe Beasley now because he knows a hell of a lot more than we do. Thank y'all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray in studio. Just real quick, and then we'll wrap this subject up for a little bit, but there was a story yesterday that J.R. Smith, we're all fans of J.R. Smith.
I saw this.
So, as you know, these things are going on all around the country, and these protests and people have gotten out of control, of course, all over the country. Well, J.R. Smith found a guy trying to smash the window out of his truck and beat the living crap out of him. So, here's apparently what happened. You see this guy. J.R. Smith, apparently when the video started that's going around now, I don't know how far he chased this guy down the street, but I guess this dude had been trying to knocked out the window in J.R. Smith's truck, which was parked on the side of the road. It was like a residential neighborhood. And by the time the video starts, J.R. Smith has this guy on the ground and he's kicking the living crap out of the dude. He's just beating the snot out of the guy. And finally, the guy's able to get up and just runs as fast as he can. But it's almost like he doesn't know which way is left and which way is right because J.R. Smith's been like beating him up because this guy tried to, you know, crush his truck. So J.R. Smith, now meanwhile, while this is being filmed, J.R. Smith's handlers are like going up to the camera and like saying, hey man, you know, don't film this, you know, but it's a personal, I don't know what he was saying, but just don't film this. So J.R. Smith immediately knew that people were going to have this on the internet, so J.R. Smith recorded this video and put it on his Instagram.
One of these little motherfucking white boys didn't know where he was going and broke my fucking window in my truck. Broke my This is a residential area. There wasn't no stores over here. No, none of that. Broke my window. I chased him down and whooped his ass. So if the footage come out and y'all see it, I chased him down and whooped his ass. He broke my window. This ain't no hate crime. I ain't got no problem with nobody ain't got no problem with me. It's a problem with the motherfucking system. That's it. The motherfucker broke my window and I whooped his ass. He didn't know who window he broke and he got his ass whooped. Just so y'all see it later, I'm telling y'all now.
Okay. Well,
seems fair.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. Someone's like smashing your car.
Yeah.
You'd want to do that. But Michael McCann, as Fred likes to call him, the middle part, he tweeted last night. He said, J.R. Smith chases down, beats up a guy he says vandalizes car. It's on video, and Smith explains what happened. He said, if not most, would argue that Smith was 100% justified. And then he goes, but for those taking the bar exam, that's still battery. He said, self-defense doesn't work because Smith wasn't in danger. And I'm wondering, okay, if you're this guy, like, would you ever in a million years try to sue J.R. Smith?
No.
Because everyone knows you were one of the guys trying to smash stuff
like that. I mean, then of course, all of a sudden, everyone knows it was you. But then the guy's probably thinking, but it's J.R. Smith. I could probably get a lot of money out of it. And I'm just like, this is all just a bunch of bad. But the fact that J.R. Smith did that, like, that's kind of one moment where you're like, okay, all right, well, yeah, I can totally understand.
The dude ran off too. Like, yeah, like J.R. got him, hit him a bunch of times, and then the guy just ran off. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think JR just came out just to be like, hey, this is why I did it.
I guarantee you, though, there's at least one lawyer that's called him today and has asked him to do this. And I bet you he hasn't dismissed it out of hand. I bet you that guy, whoever he is sitting in his bedroom or living room thinking, maybe I should. I don't think he just said, nope, I'm walking away. I bet you there's a thought process here.
Well, not to sidetrack, is that, you know, everything's on video. Like, all these people doing this. And last night, as I said, I stayed up to like 2-something watching the live coverage, obviously, because it's all going around. And there was a point where things moved from Downtown Crossing, and then they went to Newbury Street. And then from Newbury Street, they moved to Copley Square. Now, there was a camera from, I think it was Channel 7, that was right outside one of the main entrances across from the train station at Copley Square. I think it's off Dartmouth. And they had it set up, and they were filming that glass, big glass opening there where the escalators are.
Yep.
And people had smashed through there. And what was going on at that point was cars were pulling up, and they would leave the car running, and people would jump out of the car, run in to the Copley Square Mall, steal all the clothes that they could get, and then run back into the car. Meanwhile, the Channel 7 camera is filming a lot of these guys, whose faces, by the way, most of them weren't covered, and then zooming in on their license plates.
Oh, yeah, they got a bunch of them. Yeah, yeah. I saw them last night. Yeah.
Like, they were showing them and then going right into the license plate, and they would see the camera. Like, the camera's got a big light on it, and there's, like, a crew sitting there filming them doing it. And so they've got all these guys' faces, like all of their license plates, and they're pulling up right in front of this television camera where, I mean, maybe they forgot that they had license tags. I have no idea, but I mean, it was chaos last night, obviously. And my heart goes out to all the people who, you know, were,
you also have to remember, Rich, and we said this earlier, there's a lot of positive.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.